Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We did it. We did it, Joe. It's back to, as I tried to say before I hit a hard out, our regularly scheduled programming. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Man, Junior's cheesing hard, cheesing real hard. Jhené Ogunike and Mike Golic Jr. and our producer Shannon, shout out to you for the great idea of the First Take, Her Take Over with Kimberly A. Martin and Charlie Arnold. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we had a whole hour of hotline blinging with our two amazing guests. Now, in about 15 minutes, I will give you guys my NBA midseason awards. I'm so excited for that. Plus, later on in about 30 minutes, we will get to another boss lady, as you found out in our First Take, Her Take podcast. Another boss lady, also a Brooklyn Nets fan, super fan, Mina Kimes, in about 30 minutes, NFL analyst. But before we get to the NBA, Junior, was there something swirling around the NFL that you wanted to get to?
Oh, no, Jhené, you know what? As I was just sitting back, because I got to tell you, the last hour listening to you guys here, now being tan-shamed by Charlie Arnold in here, because for anyone that missed it, coming into the studio this morning, Jhené looked at me and goes, I don't know if it's just the studio light, but you look extra pale and white today. And Charlie Arnold comes in here with an illustrious tan, fresh off some
Antigua.
Warm exotic location.
Antigua.
So, as I was sitting back and just basking in the glow of your guys' greatness, I'm sitting around here and hearing all this Dak Prescott talk, and me and Cliff were talking. I am so sick of talking about this Dak Prescott situation. You know what? At this point, Cowboys, just put the tag on him. You know what you're going to do in this spot. We just heard it in the update. They got till 4 Eastern tomorrow. It's been basically 2 years of them slighting their franchise quarterback. And so now he's going to go ahead and Kirk Cousins them and dummy them over the top with the bag next year after taking about $68 million from them over the course of 2 years.
Precisely.
It is Deflategate levels of sick for me, Jhené, right now.
What is it, $38 million tag? Right?
$37.7 million.
Oh, you had to correct me because I was like, what, $300,000 off? Okay, wow. Coming back, and you're already coming back high.
I had to do something to account for the tan shaming that went on again.
That is fair. And you still need to work on it. All right? But last night we had the NBA All-Star game, and it was really fun. Let's see if I can do this off the dome. Slam dunk contest, Anthony Simons of the Portland Trailblazers. He won that by social distance kissing the rim. Skills challenge, Domantas Sabonis of the Indiana Pacers, who won that, which was really fun because bigs were in the finals. We were rooting for Nikola Vucevic, actually, because he joined us last week, and he was like, I'm going to win this, and he almost did. And last but not least, three-point contest champion Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors, no surprise there. Even though it came down to the last shot, and if you're watching on ESPN Plus, you're seeing the rack being unloaded, and I loved it because he, like, punched the air like the true champion would, the same way he would do it in the playoffs. And, like, as a woman, I got so excited when he high-fived Ayesha Curry after that as well. I was like, goals. But again, Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking about NBA All-Star. And so overall, thanks to a 16-for-16 performance, which, mind you, I'm not used to, like, I don't like to air people out, but Tim Bontomps was wilding when he wrote this article summarizing the NBA All-Star game, saying that thanks to a perfect 16-for-16 performance from the field, including banking in multiple jump shots, the shade, which is hilarious, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo won his first NBA All-Star Game Most Valuable Player as Team LeBron cruised to a 170-150 blowout victory over Team Durant. But hey, everyone was winners because we got an All-Star Game accomplished in 2021. More importantly, $500,000 through Team LeBron to HBCUs, $150,000 through Team Durant, which, come on, y'all, but it's all good. Honestly, the money was going to be the same. Anyways, but a lot of people are talking about Team LeBron because it was fun to see LeBron out there tag teaming with Stephen Curry, the three-point contest champ. So, Junior, did LeBron sort of make, like, bromance googly eyes at Steph Curry? Are you reading into that at all?
Hell yes, I'm reading into all of it. Like, everything you just described sounds like relationship comps for this one, Jhené. Listen, Anthony's dunk right there was, like, my dating life. Close but no cigar on the rim kiss there. Vucevic, always the groomsman, never the groom on there. Looking longingly at Steph Curry, and that's exactly the way LeBron looked at him, Jhené. We talked about goals there. Get someone that's going to laugh and high five with you out in the heat of battle the way LeBron did. Him and Steph on the court together for the first time, and it didn't stop during the game where we saw LeBron didn't play much in the second half. Listen to him after gushing about getting to play with guys like Giannis and guys like Steph.
Absolutely. That's why I drafted him, man. It's guys that I obviously compete against, you know, on a nightly basis, but guys that I'm just in awe of, and Giannis and Steph. It's my first time teaming up with Steph, and it was an honor to be on the floor with him, man. You know, a guy that I've seen, you know, come and be the player that he is today. But it was just it was great to be out there with Steph and Giannis and the rest of the guys, too.
Chinnay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinnay Egwumike. That combined with the tweets after, talking about celebrating Steph Curry, greatest shooter of all time. Chinnay, this seems like a classic case of LeBron at the All-Star weekend, now winning his fourth All-Star game where he is the captain and can draft his team. This seems like open recruiting for a guy in Steph Curry who, as we were reminded last night, has a contract that is up in Golden State after the 2022 season.
So you talking about crouton? Like recruiting crouton?
ABC, always be crouton.
Always be crouton, baby. We saw him do the same thing when he was also our captain and select Anthony Davis, I believe, in the midst of trying to get him to the Lakers. And you see how that ended up? Well, pretty well for LeBron James. So I think that, you know, shooting his shot is not anything bad, clearly. And we were joined earlier today by Marcus Thompson of the Athletic Bay Area, who has written books not only on Steph Curry, but also Kevin Durant. If you missed that conversation we had with him, check it on our Chinnay Golick Jr. podcast. But he basically said, all right, like, Steph is likely going to be a longtime Warrior, but and I would like to say also, you know, he dedicated his three-point contest to Klay Thompson, which, you know, there's a lot of Bay Area love there too. But if the Warriors keep sliding, do you think that Steph Curry is good? I've won three championships, I've been MVP, one of them unanimous, I'm good. He did even quote, and our producer Shannon mined this, which was really special. He said that, you know, I have nothing to prove. You know, it's just this. Oh, yeah. Best way to describe this, Steph Curry and where he is right now. I have a lot to accomplish, but nothing to prove. There's a subtle little difference there. I have a lot to accomplish, but nothing to prove. So if he still feels like there's more to accomplish, and if the Warriors can't deliver, well, I mean, these are where these seeds are planted with LeBron James and the Lakers, or potentially, we all know, we were talking about how you discovered that Steph Curry, which a lot of people didn't know, was born in Akron, Ohio, ironically, along the same hospital that LeBron James was born in. So they consider themselves born and raised, you know, well, not raised, but like born from Ohio. There's another place out there, potentially, if like the Warriors don't work, maybe he goes, you know, to Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina has been his home for his family as well. So, like, there's some options out there. But if he wants to step to a contender, like Blake Griffin just did, you know, dealing with the realities of his prime, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, okay, why not LeBron James shoot a shot at maybe the greatest shooter ever? I'm not even maybe. It's a fact, period, yeah. Steph Curry.
Well, and that's why, I mean, LeBron showed Steph the love that he craves. And Marcus Thompson was telling us that these are the kind of things Steph Curry very much wants his credit. He's letting us know he wants his credit right now. And this is all tea leaf reading, because you're right. For a guy that idolized Reggie Miller, that talked about wanting to do his two decades in one uniform, be a great in a franchise, you know this. There's a unique place in sports at times, the way we lionize people that are with one franchise and manage to do that, because you know it's a difficult thing for anyone. We see all the times, so the best wishes of team and player, that stuff doesn't come to fruition. But man, just trying to read the tea leaves in this is a boatload of fun, because when he says, I have more to accomplish but nothing to prove, that sounds like the security of legacy that allowed someone like LeBron James to make the moves that he did, to understand that he was not going to be bound by fealty to one franchise in all of this, that because of all he accomplished, he could make moves to go and add to the trophy case that weren't going to get slighted. Like, let's put it this way, Chinnay. If Steph Curry were to move on to Los Angeles, no one's thinking any less of Steph Curry. Like, he's one of those guys that, because of his status, is largely considered the best shooter of all time. He's untouchable now. That legacy's not going to take a hit, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely not. Like, he is, that's why he said he has, like, nothing more to prove, only things to accomplish. And that maybe is pursuing another championship, another ring, sort of wanting to prove that, hey, you know, I did it with the Warriors, where a lot of people considered it a team effort. Then KD came, and now it's a cheat code. And then after that, are you that good of a player? I wonder where I heard that argument before. Are you good enough of a player to lead a team to a championship? Maybe now, based on what's going on in Brooklyn, I need a little bit of help and some new energy. So nothing is ruled out for the possibilities for these guys in their careers. I just think it might probably will be a long shot, but hey, never say never. This is the NBA.
I can say we give the NBA full credit, because we have clearly seen, once James Harden went over to Brooklyn, we took that super team model that LeBron made, and we supercharged that thing. Yep. It is on a different level now, and so maybe desperate times call for desperate measures in this spot. and we would all be the beneficiary. Chenang Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. If you were listening to Sports Talk Radio last week, you heard a lot of people do their midseason NBA awards. That's why we had to switch it up on you guys right now, because we wanted to take time, digest during All-Star Weekend,
yes,
and let Chenang Wumike get together the best list, the definitive list of NBA midseason awards. We're going to give that to you next. No one else is doing it for you the Monday after All-Star Weekend here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If you guys haven't noticed, we're playing on ESPN Radio only female artists, and Beyonce is at the top of the list, y'all. And I guess the Beyonce for me at ESPN has to be Mina Kimes. I cannot wait to get her take on Blake. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. And I'm speaking of Blake Griffin. He goes from the Detroit Pistons in the middle of All-Star. Whoa, bomb, baby. Goes from the Detroit Pistons to the Brooklyn Nets. Six-time All-Star, joining forces of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Someone that's in the MVP race. I mean, Junior, how crazy do you think Mina Kimes is probably going to go for this Brooklyn squad that only knows how to win ever since she's become a fan?
I was just going to say, she has to be taking credit for this right now. And if she's not, we're going to make sure that she starts, because ever since Mina Kimes came over on the Brooklyn Nets bandwagon and made it her wagon, they have been an unstoppable force of nature's fury. And now they just throw Blake Griffin on the top of that, so they're going to have stand-up comedy acts in the locker room. Game over.
Yes, I was going to say, he may not be the X factor, but he for sure is the icing on the cake for a team that is looking to win a championship. And speaking of championships, we are halfway through the NBA season. Y'all all got your cute little midseason awards. I let it marinate, and you guys know you're going to get the real talk from me. So right here, right now, we're going to give all the awards away. NBA first half edition. Cue the music. Let's go. Oh, yes, the NBA vibes. Okay, we're going to start with what, Junior?
We are going to start with Defensive Player of the Year.
Way to think on your toes. Defensive Player of the Year goes to Rudy Gobert. You know, while I love Ben Simmons, how he leads in a lot of hustle stats, and I know we did good John, bad John, but really the good John here is Rudy Gobert, because, you know, I've seen him leading, you know, the charge when it comes defensively. This Utah Jazz team has been number two in defensive rating for most of the season, and he is the defensive captain of the team with the best record in the NBA. He's number two in both rebounds and also blocks per game, and he's looking to just improve. He told us not too long ago here on Janae and Golic Jr., you can check it out on our podcast, he told us he's trying to find ways to guard all positions. This guy is a force to be reckoned with, and so I've got Rudy Gobert as Defensive Player of the Year. Who's next? Go, go, who's next?
Coming up next in Janae Gwumike's NBA Midseason Awards, the only show giving it to you on a Monday, Sixth Man of the Year,
and I love this one. Go JC, Jordan Clarkson. And when you have a lot of wins, period, it's going to give you a lot of awards. And this one goes to Sixth Man of the Year because this one's kind of a layup. 18 points per game. This is a guy that's 28 years old. He's a veteran, but it just seems like he's put all the pieces together. He's super confident. He's one of six players in double figures for the Utah Jazz. And most importantly, I can't wait for his outfit when he wins that in a few months, one of the best dressed in the NBA. So Sixth Man of the Year, I think this is the easiest one for all NBA fans to recognize. It goes to Jordan Clarkson.
All right, Chenang Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and our WNBA All-Star Chenang Ogwumike giving out the NBA Midseason Awards. Let's give the coaches some love. Coach of the Year right now.
Coach of the Year, this one's easy as well, just because he's coaching the best team right now in the NBA, and he just coached Team LeBron James to victory in NBA All-Star. It's Quinn Snyder of the Utah Jazz, one of the most balanced teams in the NBA, and it's largely because his idea as a coach, his competitive spirit, is extremely contagious. Again, I said you've got a defensive captain in Rudy Gobert, you've got an offensive captain in Donovan Mitchell, and the best record in the NBA. To the victor belong the spoils of not only Coach of the Year with Quinn Snyder, Sixth Man of the Year and Jordan Clarkson, and Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. Even though I see Rudy Gobert and Defensive Player of the Year coming down to the wire based on how these two teams finish in the standings, East versus West, Philly versus Utah.
All right. Listen, I was going to say, speaking of Philly, I am shocked. I know we did good John, bad John around here before. I figured Cliff was going to be up in arms with Doc Rivers not getting the nod at this point, but playing the long game. Much like the Sixers this year, it's about doing it in the postseason for them right now. All right, Chenae, most improved. Who do we got?
I love this one. The award for most improved goes to Jeremy Grant of the Detroit Pistons. Now, I know Woj broke news over NBA All-Star about how Blake Griffin is leaving this team, but this guy actually opted for a role to stay. He wanted his role to grow, and he went from 12 points per game to now 24 points a game this year. Mind you, 12 to 24 in a year where you had limited rest, limited offseason. I know they weren't in the bubble, but to be able to work on your game so much that it's grown to this point where he now is leading the charge for a team that's trying to break through. I'm really impressed with Jeremy Grant of the Detroit Pistons for most improved player of the year.
Jeremy Grant. All right, so we've got defensive player of the year, sixth man of the year, coach of the year, and most improved. We built it all up. Again, giving you Chennai's midseason NBA awards. The only show giving it to you on a Monday. Let's hand out the MVP. What do we got, Chennai?
And this is a really, really, really super good job, baby. Most valuable player goes to Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. You heard it correct. Right now, I've got Joel Embiid as MVP. Now, I do think that LeBron James will have something to say, you know, especially after All-Star break, because he sort of needed a break after all of this. But all that we've asked of Joel Embiid is health and consistency, and he has delivered. Best record in the East. This man is averaging 30 points and 11 rebounds a game, a 30-point double-double, and he's taken the criticism, and he's made that criticism constructive. He's leading the charge in the NBA. He's the hardest person to guard. He even said he's unguardable. He literally said that to the media. And what I like the most about Joel Embiid is that this is the same trajectory that earned Giannis Antetokounmpo probably his first MVP award. 30-point double-double, best record in the East. I feel like history will repeat itself, but this time with the different African, not Nigerian, Greek Giannis, but Cameroonian Joel Embiid. So Philly, you got a really good John at this point of the year. Joel Embiid I've got for MVP, and it's crazy how 2 weeks can change a lot in the MVP race.
It is true, and we're getting down this stretch of the season. We know the Lakers have one of the most difficult back half of the season schedules coming up, but the 76ers, their stars got a break during All-Star weekend. Not a break that was planned by any means, but Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid out with contact tracing from the COVID-19 protocol. Going to be fresh and ready to go to try and taste down that MVP. That's Chennai's NBA Midseason Awards.
Yes.
If you disagree, at Chennai, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter, come and holler. Happy to have it out with you, but I feel like Chennai got that list pretty spot on. Now,
thank you.
If you're looking for college hoops, college basketball season's heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch, like Baylor's Jared Butler or UConn's Olivia Nelson-Odata. This, as the season rolls on, the tagline, John R. Wooden presented by Wendy's. That was written in, and I read it like Ron Burgundy on the teleprompter. Not always the smartest, but definitely going to work hard. Coming up next, though, now that the Brooklyn Nets have made yet another blockbuster free agent move, not one, not two, not three, but four All-Stars, how many championships are we talking? We take the pulse of Nets Nation with its heartbeat next, and we do it after this word from Omaha Steaks. All right, guys, last week I told you about the deliciousness of Omaha Steaks and their excellent, and I mean excellent, Butcher's bestseller grill pack. Well, if you need a reminder, let me get you on game. It includes four filet mignons, four burgers, four pork chops, desserts, and so much more. I had my family over, social distance dinner. My brother-in-law, let me tell you, this guy, full, I'm talking full carnivore diet on this thing. Guy only eats meat. And even he said, I haven't had anything like this Omaha Steaks pack that you got set up here. And if you haven't purchased that pack now and you want to be like the Golics, good red-blooded meat eaters, head to omahasteaks.com and enter Golic in the search bar. You're not only going to get a special price on that pack, but you're also going to get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious grilled burgers for free. My family loves it. Your family's going to love it, too. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type keyword Golic, G-O-L-I-C, in the search bar. And order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, that gets you four free chicken breasts and four free burgers. That's omahasteaks.com. Go to the search bar and type in keyword Golic to get that great offer. Back after this with the leader of Nets Nation next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shout out to all the boss ladies out there, Houston's own Meg the Stallion included. We just shouted out Beyonce, so it feels appropriate. It's Chennai Ogola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chennai Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests, and we've had a whole bunch of amazing women today join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, history was made in the SEC yesterday over the weekend. Major history. We'll tell you exactly what that is in about 10 minutes as we keep that same energy. But we have to clear the floor, literally, because the leader of Nets Nation is here. And I'm not talking about James Harden or Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant or now even Blake Griffin. I am talking about our own ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire, Mina Kimes, who is now Brooklyn's biggest fan. And so I have to start, you know, Mina, with how do you feel after the Brooklyn Nets acquired Detroit's formerly now Blake Griffin, and now they have not just a big three, but maybe a core four?
Well, I mean, Bruce Brown was already part of the core four, but, you know, I feel like it takes a village to build a super team. I'm just but one small part of the greater Nets universe, hashtag Nets world. And, you know, I'm thrilled to welcome Blake aboard because I have been a Brooklyn Net longer than him. As far as the basketball ramifications go, you know, it's just an upside play to me, Chiney. You know, I like Blake, we know he's not what he was just a few years ago. And he's never really been excellent at the sort of rim protection I think the Nets probably do need. But this gives them depth in their front court, which is something they do need. And from what we're hearing, it's if they want to go small and play him at the five, I think that's a very explosive lineup for their offense. And don't, you know, get twisted, this is a team that's going to beat teams with their offense. So if he's still got something left in the tank and he wants to get a ring with my Nets, I'm all for it.
Mina, you're the perfect person for me to bounce this comparison off, because earlier in the show I said that this to me is eerily reminiscent of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going out and acquiring Leonard Fournette. But someone brought up to me, is it more Tampa Bay acquiring Leonard Fournette before the season or acquiring Antonio Brown during the season?
I think the Fournette comp is really good because Antonio Brown, you know, when they signed him, the question marks around him have been off the field, not on the field. I think everyone knew Antonio Brown is still an elite player. Whereas with Fournette, you know, he's coming off of some pretty, I don't think he lived up to his draft expectations, it's fair to say, in Jacksonville. And with Tampa, there weren't just questions about, you know, why they signed him. They're like, what can he actually bring to the table? And he ended up coming up big in the playoffs in some spots. And I think that really is an excellent analogy for Blake. Like, he doesn't need to give them significant minutes to be useful to this team. That's how good they are, and that's the level of competition we're talking about.
Talking to Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst and the world's foremost Brooklyn Nets fan, here on Chiney and Golic Jr. You can also check out her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, wherever you get your podcasts. And Mina, while we've got you here, I guess we should talk some NFL too. Interesting stuff, Chris Mortensen reporting that Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, is trying to go all in on Jalen Hurts, saying he wants the team to build around him as the A option and not create a competition here. Is this the right move going into the draft, especially for Philadelphia with that 6th overall pick?
You know, I think, assuming that they're not blowing smoke, and I kind of doubt it, even though it would be an excellent move if you were blowing smoke and you're trying to signal to other teams that you aren't taking quarterback there. I think they're kind of tired of the drama, and I also think they don't have a lot of options. 6 is kind of a awkward place to pick in this draft, because while it is very quarterback heavy, it seems very likely that at least 3 quarterbacks will be gone before then, at least. And unless Philadelphia actually likes that 4th or 5th option, be it Trey Lance or Mac Jones, which, gosh, taking Mac Jones at 6 would be pretty wild. But it's understandable to me why they wouldn't settle for an option they don't love this year, especially because with that 6th pick, they can either trade down, which I think is probably what they should do, given all the holes on their roster, especially on their defense, or take your Ja'Marr Chase, you know, your sure thing seeming wide receiver who's so complete out of LSU, and obviously that's a position of need for them. So, you know, to me, this signals that they don't like their options, and I suspect, Mike, that if they were picking 3rd instead of 6th, it might be very different.
Very different conversation indeed, and if we're going to have an NFC East conversation about quarterbacks, I'm legally required at this point to mention Dak Prescott. The franchise tag deadline is 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, Mina. The Cowboys and Dak still don't have a long-term deal done. Do you think one gets done, or how does this go with Dak and that franchise?
I just hope it does, and I don't like to make things this all about us, but for our sake, please, Dallas, please, I can't keep doing this, man. It's been years at this point. And this isn't just about the media. This is about everyone who watches sports television, who consumes NFL content. We all want this to end. Please. I mean, I guess unless you're rooting against the Dallas Cowboys and you're a fan of a team in the NFC East, in which case you don't want it to end because you don't want them to have Dak Prescott, which should tell the Cowboys that they should sign Dak Prescott because they, forget Philadelphia, they have no other options. And if they actually do a deal, then they can structure the signing bonus so they can push money out into the future and use some of that cap space to compete this year in their horrible division. Are you hearing me, Dallas? It's a no-brainer.
Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst. Dallas, she's trying to help you out, and I could not echo that anymore if I tried. Save us all from this perpetual
Please.
Hamster wheel of Dak contract hell. Speaking of a personal hell, though, for you, Mina, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler says that
How
Russ
likes
you. The Bears' emerging offensive line, Matt Nagy, in the Chicago market, expecting the Bears to take their shot. Would you spontaneously combust if that happened?
Well, I don't know if you heard me say how dare you before you even said what the story was.
Oh,
I knew exactly what it was going to be when you said my personal hell. This is bonkers. And I say this not as a homer who doesn't want Seattle to trade off of Wilson, but that's obviously the case. But this makes no sense for either Seattle or Russell Wilson. Like, if it was the Saints, I'd be upset. But I would understand why Russell Wilson might have some interest in going there. Or heck, even a Dallas or a Vegas or somewhere where there's offensive playmakers. But Chicago? Chicago? Like, I'm aghast. I mean, if his quibble with Seattle is the offense and lack of protection, Chicago? Like, it doesn't make any sense, and they have nothing to give Seattle in return that would make it worthwhile. It's just insanity.
It's purely, I think, to drive you insane at this point here. The great Mina Kimes with us. Check her out as a part of ESPN's NFL Live each and every day, 4 o'clock Eastern. Also, check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts. Mina, don't worry. The Nets are going to get you through these tough times. We
Precisely.
Appreciate you coming on, friend.
I think I blacked out there. Sorry. Bye.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Coming up next, Mina Kimes with an expert-level dismount right there. We're going to show you how a real pro sticks a landing. We're going to do
gosh.
It next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are here. We've made it through a Monday. We're still here. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. And we're on International Women's Day. Congratulations. Shout out to all the women out there that are the real heroes. We celebrate them each and every day. But before I get to the ladies that joined us, I have to shout out Marcus Thompson of the Athletic Bay Area that joined us after NBA All-Star, because we got really special performances from not only Team LeBron James overall, but by one really special performance from Stephen Curry, who he wrote a book on. So check out our conversation with Marcus Thompson. But back to the ladies. Okay, hey, ladies, we just had Mina Kimes on, ESPN NFL analyst and also Brooklyn Nets super fan, which, mind you, she totally was like, oh, Blake, like, you want to join us now? I was like, oh, feeling confident, Mina, and I love it. But we also were joined by Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL analyst, and also Charlie Arnold, ESPN's First Take host, time to time again. And we had our first take, her take over, which was so much fun.
Oh,
is there breaking news?
Oh, man, there is breaking news, all right.
What is it?
Sorry to interrupt that moment right now. And again, if you missed any of the First Take Her Takeover, check it out on the Chene and Golic Jr. podcast. Check out the First Take Her Takeover podcast.
Yes.
But Chene, we have big news per our own Adam Schefter. Right as we talked about it, right as we complained about it, the Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have a deal. We don't have the terms out yet, but our national nightmare is over.
Amen.
Dak Prescott
yes.
and the Cowboys have a deal.
Yes.
Yes. Mina Kimes prayers. Her prayers have been answered. She literally just joined us and talked about, please end this misery. Please end this endless cycle of us having to keep talking about this. And finally, her prayers were answered. How do you feel, Junior?
I feel relieved, Chene, that at the end of the day, and we'll see what the details look like, because that's going to be important in how we assess this with Dak Prescott. We remember for so long the sticking point was the amount of years. The Cowboys wanted to pay him plenty of the money that he wanted, but they wanted it over a long contract. Dak wanted it over 4 years. And so seeing the kind of money that he was able to make after this long standoff, after a year where we saw him go down with that ankle injury playing on the franchise tag, I'm just happy that Dak Prescott got to something that he could appreciate and feel valued enough to sign on the dotted line so we don't have to worry about watching him potentially go get carted off the field on the franchise tag again like we did last year.
This is the best thing that we could have had to end our Monday. If you're watching on ESPN Plus, Adam Schefter's tweet, Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have a deal, ladies and gentlemen. I added the ladies and gentlemen part. That's the energy we need, and that's the energy we'll keep as we wrap things up right now.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Ooh, keeping that same big money energy out here. Good night. We had big money on deck. As Janae mentioned, the first take, her takeover, the 5 o'clock hour of the show. Janae Agumake, Charlie Arnold, Kimberly A. Martin did a great job. And so while they were holding it down on the air with you guys, I had big shoes to fill. I went and had to try to get my SportsCenter update on, like the great Christine Lisi that we always hear around these parts, and so many others that do a great job. And I may have gotten a little excited when I stuck the landing today coming out of the update. Here's what it looked and sounded like. In men's college basketball, Gonzaga is going to attempt to go wire-to-wire number one this season. They have 61 of 63 first-place votes. Gonzaga won its ninth straight West Coast Conference regular season title and is the only unbeaten team in men's Division I. And on the women's side, Chinea Agumake's Stanford Cardinal jumped two spots to number two in the latest AP poll after a dominant Pac-12 tournament run. The Cardinal won three games by an average of 31 points, including a 20-point victory over UCLA.
What? Just 15 seconds to talk about Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea? That smooth taste of real brewed iced tea.
I was so nervous for you and your earphones, like, still plugged in. Like, are you going to pull your ears off? But I'm so proud of you, Michael and Junior, holding down the SportsCenter updates, going two for two, and making, most importantly, Christine Lisi look pretty good.
I was
going
to say,
coach.
All praise to Christine Lisi for helping me out and for being so good at this and making sure that I stay far, far away from this normally. I am just happy to make her proud. That was my
Amen.
Only goal in that instance. Janae Angola well Jr. done. Here on ESPN Radio. And today we had big UFC in the works this weekend, UFC 259. And Israel Adesanya, the style bender, took an L, unfortunately, in the UFC light heavyweight debut. And Chinee, it was just a size difference in this one here. Stylebender, obviously, someone that a lot of people were interested in making that jump up, but close but no cigar on this one.
Yeah, and you have to respect and, you know, applaud how he went up in weight, which is way harder than just dropping down and trying to maintain that strength. And so it takes bravery to enter the ring like that. And I'm glad the cage or whatever it is, the octagon, there we go. And I'm glad that, you know, he had a learning experience. And so hopefully it'll be better for it in the future.
Absolutely. So hopefully we'll have more of that in the future because it was incredibly entertaining and something we all want to go back to. But, Janae, we also had big news this weekend out of the SEC. For the first time, two black head coaches squared off in the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament title game with South Carolina's Dawn Staley and Georgia's Joni Taylor. An incredible moment there in the world of women's college hoops from some absolute goats, especially Dawn Taylor.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I love to see it.
You're talking about who?
Embrace.
Dawn Taylor?
Oh, excuse me, Dawn Staley.
I
combined the two names in that one. That's on me.
I jumped on him. My fault. Dawn Staley and Joni Taylor. And it was really great to see this form of history. Sometimes you wonder, man, it's just now happening. But it's not just the NFL and the NBA that has been under scrutiny when it comes to head coaches and giving opportunities. It's also collegiately athletics. You know, we need to keep making these strides. And I love seeing those two together in the SEC title game. And that's just the beginning, y'all.
Absolutely. Just the beginning. A reminder here coming up in March, 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020, the story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for so many Americans, as told by those who lived the events of that day and built. The 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Ton of fun today with the first take, her takeover. Going to have to do it again very soon. Spain and Fitz coming up next on ESPN Radio with more on Dak's new contract.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.